You're listening to Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
And you are listening to Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD, joined by Chris Triplett and Chris McFeely. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hello, it's going pretty good.
Yes.
I've been watching cartoons all day.
Yes.
What you been watching?
I've been watching everything. I mean, I saved up Transformers Prime, and I watched it as a movie last night.
I'm sorry.
So I got, like, all of the other cartoons from this weekend to watch, and there were new episodes of Iron Man out as well and other things. So, yeah, I've just been watching cartoons since about...
I think there was a new episode of Avengers today, and I missed
it. Yes, there was. I watched it.
I'm just actually... very second clicking on the button that will provide me with it.
I won't spoil it, I guess, then, since you guys haven't seen it.
I mean, what's it coming on Sunday? And I think it came on Sunday in the morning. I mean, what's up with that?
Actually, it just played. It was on it like just like an hour or two ago.
Well, I missed it again, then, apparently.
Maybe not. I don't know. Seemed like it was. But anyway. Yeah, it was interesting.
Well, it looks like it's going to be on Sundays consistently now after this.
Huh.
Oh, really? They're moving it? It's not going to be Wednesdays anymore?
Seeing the dates for the next episodes are the 12th and the 19th.
Has Young Justice actually started?
No.
It don't start till January.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was afraid I was missing it. I was like, why is my TiVo not getting it? And then Prime ended, and that was, it was definitely a series. Mini. Yep. Okay. So today it is Fanboy Versus Secret Six, as we're going to talk about the wrap up to the current storyline and lots of other stuff. But we'll talk about some news in the interim, and I always go to Chris McFeely for that. So what you got, sir?
It's all other media news again this week. It always annoys me whenever that's all we ever have to talk about, but it seems to be where all the news heads this week. And some of the big news this week is out of the Spider-Man musical, which is in previews at the minute.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do you know what I've decided?
What's that?
I would really, really like to see this.
You know...
I never will.
I wish they'd release, like, a DVD of it.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure that they actually you actually can get, especially like original productions and stuff. There usually are DVDs of a lot of shows like that. Something this big where they're going to be trying to get their money back any way possible. I imagine there will be a DVD of it. Now the question
is the most expensive Broadway show ever.
Yes,
and I think I read somewhere it costs like $1 million a show or something.
Yeah, it's pretty...
may be wrong, but I thought I heard that somewhere.
It's something insanely expensive. I don't know how much exactly it costs.
I mean, they're going to have to... I mean, tickets are in the hundreds, like, as far as I understand.
And unfortunately, though, that it doesn't seem like many of the productions have gone very well. I know even...
Yeah, well, it's all been in... It's only... It hasn't actually, like, started. It's not open to the public yet.
Like, it's open in, like, January or something, I think.
Preview nights thus far, which have... apparently been halted a few times with technical difficulties, like just getting stuck in mid-web swing or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's got Swarm in it! How did I not know this?
Swarm?
Swarm! A Nazi made of bees in a cape!
I did not know this.
Swarm is in this musical.
Who isn't Swarm?
I believe it's the Goblin, Carnage, the Lizard,
Kraven's in it.
Kraven.
Yeah,
and the Swiss Miss character. I think that's six, and I think that's the Sinister Six.
That is,
and as I understand it, the Radioactive Spider has a musical number.
Nice.
No, you know
I understand. Okay. Personified by the Greek figure Arachne, it has a musical number.
You know, here's something that probably a lot of our listeners don't know about me. I'm kind of a theater nerd. My wife is actually a music theater performer, and I love musicals. Talking about, like, wanting to see this, like, I can see where the story of Spider-Man can be a really interesting musical. I can see where, you know, certain moments and certain beats along that storyline would make for an interesting musical. I'm just, like, I have no idea if this is actually going to be of any quality. I don't know, but...
The thing is that Broadway is one of the few mediums that exists today now where critics can actually make or break something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I haven't heard very favorable response from critics thus far.
Not a one.
To the preview show. But that's hardly that surprising, is it?
No. But, yeah. I mean, again, the problem is...
I just know that I would really like to see it.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. If... Yeah, I mean, it's like, if I could get tickets now to go to New York and go to see the show, I would, because, yeah, I would love to see this. And this is not a show that's going to tour, I don't think. I mean, there's no, with all the technics, there's no way. Now, I tell you where this show will probably end up is in Vegas. There's a lot of shows that will that play in New York. If they don't play for very long there, then they'll end up going to Vegas or they'll go to L.A., and they'll end up setting down in a theater there. A good example of that is Avenue Q. They didn't play for terribly long in New York, but they picked up roots and moved to Vegas, and they've been playing there, I think, ever since. So so it may find a home at least somewhere else. I don't think it's going to, you know, jump the pond and end up in the West End or anything, but yes, I am a theater nerd. Thank you. But anyway, I've seen a show out there, by the way, in London. So anyway, so yes, Spider-Man musical, unfortunately not doing very good. So that'll be fun.
Interesting, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. And
I think it's just purely on the fact that Swarm, isn't it? That was like that female symbiote turning up in the Spider-Man Islands of Adventure ride at Universal Studios. Then it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What else in the news? Well, sticking with Spider-Man, sticking with Spider-Man and weird, obscure Spider-Man characters. Another bit of casting news this week for the Spider-Man movie. Well, first of all, they've cast his parents, which I don't even remember who the actors are that's playing them, but that hardly seems to matter, because more interesting is the fact that his parents are in it, which again, along with Uncle Ben, seems to lean towards origin territory.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all concluded and hoped we wouldn't be seeing again when we talked about this last. But then the weird thing, which again leads origin territory again, is a new bit of casting. An actor named, I don't know, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Irfan Khan, has been cast as a character named Nels Van Adder. Now, you probably, that actually is someone from the comics, and you probably don't know who it is, because we are talking seriously obscure. Back in the late 90s, I believe it was, Marvel did, yes, it was the late 90s, 97-ish, I think it was. Marvel did a minus month, and all their comics for that month, I think nearly all of them anyway, most of them certainly, were minus one issues, which showed us secret things from the pasts of the characters from before issue one. And I believe it was Spectacular Spider-Man, can't remember which Spidey title it was exactly, but I think it was Spectacular Spider-Man, did a story about Norman Osborn before he became the Green Goblin, testing out the formula. If you remember the story of Norman's origin from the comics, he actually found the notes for the Goblin formula inside Mendelstrom's desk when he broke it open in a fit of rage. So this story showed him testing the formula that he made using the notes on I think he might have been a custodial engineer. Nels Van Adder, and turned him into this red monstrosity. And in the cover of the comic, called him the Proto-Goblin. He wasn't called that in the comic, but the cover called him the Proto-Goblin because it was, you know, he was the prototypical goblin. And this guy has been cast as his human alias. Will we see the Proto-Goblin in the film? Baffling.
Hmm.
That's weird. That's really weird.
Wow.
What? I wonder what they're pulling. I'm really interested to see this movie, to see what in the hell is going on with it. You know, because it just, all the casting has just been really weird. And I don't know. Because, like, they told us that, hey, we've got, like, all this baggage from the Raimi movies. We need to kind of, you know, lose that and kind of start over. And it doesn't sound like, you know, it sounds like we're going to create new baggage.
It does. It does seem like there's a lot of, like, new elements that seem unnecessary that are coming in to play. I don't know.
Hey, here's a crazy idea. He's a kid. He goes to high school and he fights crime as Spider-Man. Can we get that, please?
That sounds great. That, they should do a whole comic book series like that.
Maybe he fights the Spot in the movie, you know?
Awesome. Well, the way this thing is going right now... Thing fell out of my ear. The way this thing is going right now, I half expect the Spot to appear. I expect the next casting announcement to be for Dr. Jonathan Oum.
Well, we've already got cast in for Kirk Connor, so it kind of looks like we might be getting the Lizard.
Oh, people! If people not have been now,
are you kidding? How? I mean, that dude was in three movies and nothing.
Yeah. No.
So,
I'm confident we would have seen the Lizard in Spider-Man 4 if it would have happened. It was going to happen. I'm confident.
Well, it is happening ish, and we're still not going to get him. So. I mean,
well, speaking of things that you never thought you would conceivably get
or want,
something else new out of the CW this week: Raven of the Teen Titans might be getting her own television series.
And why?
Yeah, why?
Why would they do that?
Because the CW desperately needs something to take the place of Smallville.
I thought they were. Aren't they doing the Wonder Woman series?
That's going to be on
another replacement for Smallville.
I don't.
Maybe they don't consider that a replacement for Smallville on account of it's not teen targeted or whatever.
But Raven's such an uninteresting character without other people.
Raven's also not Superman level known. You know?
No.
I mean, honestly, well, I didn't.
She's not even Robin.
What?
Robin show up there.
Okay.
It's not like.
I've got an idea. Let's do a TV series. We'll call it Gotham. And we'll see a young Bruce Wayne as he's, like, training and developing himself. And there'll be all this stuff about, like, bats that fly around and
his
and
best
stuff.
Friend is a young guy that might be the Joker. We don't
know.
Yeah,
we don't know. You know, it could be. You know, and he always wears red hats.
He'll save
him. This will be season one, maybe season two, but then come season three, you know, his friend will turn into the Joker, and then he'll fight Clayface and the Penguin and the Riddler and Catwoman.
Yeah.
Except they won't have costumes and they won't have powers, but they'll be in it. And maybe in these little fan nods, like for 5 seconds at the end of really short, unsatisfying fights, they might look like their comic book sales for half of a second.
And then
that would be awesome.
Yes, and you'll have, like, little, like, shadows. Like, he'll be standing there, and then he'll be, like, standing in front of something. It'll be, like, a shadow, and you'll almost see ears. Like, oh, man, that would be a great TV series.
God, that sounds like...
Yeah, man, they should make that with Superman.
Yes! Yes! Or they could do Raven.
Yeah,
that'd be good, too. Because the Raven, then they could do all this future foreshadowing towards...
I know why they're doing Raven. It just dawned on me. I know why they're doing Raven. They're going to make Raven into the Twilight type show.
Oh,
she's going to like fight vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, it'll be like Twilight. It'll be Twilight meets the Event.
Because she's like the super goth anyway, right? I mean, that's
her whole deal.
That's kind of only a more recent thing. I think more like Supernatural with tits.
Oh. Well, use some tits, so if they can do that show with, like, actual strong female characters, that may be interesting.
You sold me.
But no, it'll just be, like, the whole season will be that she knows something bad is going to happen, and then at the end of the season, she makes whatever bad was going to happen not happen, and then the next season... Something bad is going to happen.
Her dad's real ass, and then you find out later on that he's actually a demon.
Yes. You know?
Good Lord, I never even thought about the potential for Trigon in the show like that.
He's like a mayor or something. He's like an asshole to everybody.
A substitute teacher.
Yes.
Oh God. Oh, this is going to be the most epic series ever. Why are we making fun of this? God. Okay. So, any other news?
I suppose the most comic-related news this week was that Marvel has announced there will be no overprint on Fantastic Four number, what is it, 587, I think is the number? Yes, 587. Is the death issue. It's the final part of the three storyline that we've been chatting about.
Yep.
And that's out in January. And it will be no overprint. If you don't order it with your retailer now, they will not be able to order replacement copies once it has come out.
So I better talk to...
And you won't even be able to look at it in the store because it will be coming in a poly bag.
But that means I need two copies then, right? Because I want to keep
one
copy.
Yeah, one to keep sealed and one to open because the sealed one will be worth millions of dollars in the near future.
Won't it?
Wait till the newspapers get a hold of it. Yes, it will.
McFeely, how much is my sealed bag of Return of Superman worth?
Nothing.
The one that came out the same week as the four issues with the
whole
cover.
No one cares about his return. They cared about his death. You missed out. Yeah. You didn't get the right issue.
Oh. So my sealed bag is worth nothing then?
Nothing.
I believe the sealed death issue... No, what is it? The sealed... issue of 500, which is the one where he goes off to heaven or something. I believe that is worth approximately $3.
Oh my God, I hate myself. no, because when they did the return, they did like that issue, and then they did the four issues with the window front for the four different Superman that came back, and I have all of those, and they're worthless now. Apparently, that's awesome.
Utterly.
Man. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more thing, kind of not news, but kind of news, and then we'll get into comic book reviews.
Personal news about your favorite show.
Yes, about this show, which we hope is your favorite.
Well, that was implied.
We'll assume it is your favorite show. so, anyway, we are now partnered, affiliated, in conjunction with Comic News International. So, if you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, you know that RFC is affiliated with T-Formers. This is kind of exactly like that. So we're affiliated with Comic News International. That's comicnewsi.com. You'll be able to see the link for our show on there. I don't know how much or what we'll be doing from a contribution standpoint, but definitely it's a great site to check out. They typically, they have the previews for upcoming comics. You can find some reviews there as well. They also post comic news and upcoming things as well on there. So if you want to keep up on your comic book news, you can go to comicnewsi.com and check that out. And if you feel like it, drop them a line and say, hey, thanks for adding Fanboy Versus to your news lineup. So, so that they can know that you appreciate that. And they also know that you're checking them out as well and everything. So we thank Jay and the guys over there for hooking us up and getting us attached to that, and we appreciate them. So thank you.
We're almost legitimate.
We're almost legitimate. we're not quite there. But and of course, on that note, please mention us to your other friends because, they should be listening too, or watching because it's on video. And you can see me and not the other guys because I don't have a cool rig like Brian where he can put people on video behind him. So someday we'll do that. Anyway, comics.
Have to get Brian back in first.
Yeah, well, I need another monitor and I can put something like here-ish, maybe. Although I don't know how that would work in this room. But, hey, back yonder... because we say that in Oklahoma, you can see my Fanboy Versus clock, which I love.
I love that clock.
So everybody should get one of those. There's no markup on those on our Cafe Press, but I have no idea still what the link for that is. So maybe email Brian, and he'll tell you. So anyway, okay. So
on almost comic book legitimate.
Almost legitimate. This is the kind of quality that you get How to Fanboy Versus. So, Triplett, what did you read, sir? Not much, I can tell you, if anybody picked up comics this week. Holy crap.
Yeah, it was a short week.
Thank goodness for news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got Action Comics number 13, annual number 13, She-Hulk's number 2, Secret 6, 28, which we're saving for the end, and I guess Brightest Day number 15, I guess we're sort of, you know, saving
Let's talk about Brightest Day 15.
You want to talk about Brightest Day first? Get it over with?
Get it out of the way.
Hey.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to waste any more time talking about this than I had to reading it.
Yes. So I take it you hated this issue.
Jesus. I had fight to keep awake.
It was an epic waste of time. What this seemed like to me was it seemed like someone's Elseworlds story idea that somehow got crammed into the middle of this deal. Like there was more to this story at some point.
Sad this story is. This story seems like it's in the wrong book. It seems like that this should have been in an annual, and then the story that I read in Action Comics Annual number 13 should have been in an actual issue. That's what it seems like. You like how when annuals used to not matter, and you'd get these little stories that just went nowhere, and it was like, well, it's $5, they'll buy it or something. That's what this was.
Yeah.
I mean, this story is called Whatever Happened to the Manhunter from Mars, which is a takeoff of Alan Moore's Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow when they did this story. I beg your pardon. Which is a takeoff of Alan Moore's Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. But the story is a takeoff of Alan Moore's What Do You Get for the Man Who Has Everything, which maybe more listeners would know from the Justice League episode of the same name where they adapted the storyline in which Superman is trapped in a vision of his perfect world. And that's exactly what happens in this, except to the Martian Manhunter. And you already know from the first page that he's trapped in an illusion, because we saw it happen about 2 or 3 issues ago. You hope it may be over by maybe 5 pages. No. But it just fucking keeps going.
and not only that, yeah, I mean, it's drawn on for the whole issue. Like, almost the entire issue. And it seems pointless.
I don't feel I learned anything about the Martian Manhunter from this. That's the point. I mean, the point of What You Get for the Man Who Has Everything is where Superman lives in this Krypton that is like, it's not quite Krypton, it's not quite Earth. His wife is not quite Lois, she's not quite Lana. There's a wonderful sense of confliction in the character in that story. And in this, the Martian Manhunter is a Green Lantern for some reason.
Yeah, which doesn't make. Which it has no other impact on the story other than just to say that he is a Green Lantern.
He's obviously the Green Lantern of Mars. I mean, come on, his whole race is back. They need a Green Lantern.
Well, and it just fucking keeps going.
And the only thing that was interesting to me, because I don't hardly know a damn thing about the Martian Manhunter, was the deal where he, like, buried everyone on his planet. Like, made them a grave and buried everybody. Yeah. That was the only thing that I was like, wow, that's crazy. And that, like, just that little bit of dialogue between him and Superman where they talked about the differences between them. You know, the fact that he actually watched his world die and Superman didn't. That was the only thing.
I do think that the page where we see the Flash running without a head was kind of neat.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of nasty.
Disconcerting,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's a nasty death.
but, I mean, the rest of this was just sort of, wow, pointless.
What? Wow, it is so. What is Batman trying to spell out in his own blood?
Wake up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's WA, and that's what Superman says too when he's dying. Is wake up.
Oh, sure. So it is.
Yeah.
And why does he kill them all?
I don't know. Because he's jealous of them, I think. Maybe.
Yeah. And there's a monkey at the end of this issue.
Yes, there is a monkey at the end of the issue, and, yes.
Hey, there's Ferris.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like we'll be getting back to Aqualad next issue. That might be worth actually reading.
Yeah.
This was bad.
Like Firestorm,
this was the. Well, it says so, but it says the origin of Aqualad next issue.
It says the origin of Aqualad, but he says, I'm about to do destroy the universe.
And then
next, the Origin of Aqualad. Okay, well, I guess we'll deal with that later.
All right. Well, that seems important, but we'll talk about it later. Now, the only thing that seems really weird is on the cover, it's the new Wonder Woman costume, and then in the issue, it's the
original costume. That, and I thought, well, is she going to be in the issue?
Yeah, sort of, but
I
not
did
the.
Even notice.
Yeah, it was just really bad. It wasn't bad necessarily because I mean, I think what's worse about it is that it was so pointless. Like, it wasn't
not
just that the story was
not
bad,
fairly.
But it was just completely pointless. So, yeah, it was a waste of an issue. We gained nothing. Absolutely nothing from it. So it wasn't so much, I mean, the story was kind of flat in and of itself, which is semi-forgivable if there would have been something of interest learned. But there was nothing of interest learned, which I think is worse. So, anyway.
That gets the worst issue yet stamped for Brightest Day.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been a massive critic of Brightest Day. It's not been a 52, but it sure as hell not been a countdown, thank God.
Mm-mm.
But issues like that really do push it into the ladder camp.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, all right.
That's that
anyway,
out of the way.
Now we can move on.
With our lives and dreams.
Yes.
And Action Comics.
Yeah. Action? We feel, triple. Yep. Did we lose Triple?
Oh, I think we did.
Oh, goodness. There he is. Trying to ping back desperately. Well, until he gets back, I guess we can move on to something else. Taskmaster? No, wait.
Why not?
Here he comes. He may be coming. We'll give him a few seconds. Or we should talk about it. I can't wait to talk about this Taskmaster.
Well, no. I've got it out of the bag.
What did he say here? Nope. Okay, well, let's go with it, and then we'll see when he comes back. Call dropped. Okay. Taskmaster.
Technology. We are recording, right?
Yes. Yes. We are recording the show. Thank you. After 3 fails, I think I have finally successfully recorded the show.
Yay!
So, why don't you go ahead and tell us, why don't you lead us through this awesomeness that is Taskmaster.
When last we left our anti-hero, he was at the castle at the peak of a village full of Hitlers. In which we learned in last issue's shock ending, which we didn't blow for you, but will now if you haven't read it yet, that Mercedes, the waitress, who he has fallen in with, apparently unintentionally in the course of this miniseries, is in fact his wife. She is the org. She has the one who is the one who has been sending him on his missions and pointing him in the right direction as his handler, because it's the only way she can be close to him because of his complete lack of memory, because of his powers constantly overwriting his memory.
Now, I'll stop you there. This is major, if I'm not mistaken,
oh,
correct?
Oh, God, yes.
Like, I mean, major implications across the entirety of some of the villaindom, at least, because it's always been assumed that the org was something much larger, correct?
Well, I mean, this—I think, as far as I know, the org is just something that's come out of this.
I thought I seem to recall I'd heard of it before, but
I don't think I have.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So I would assume you're right and I'm wrong. Okay. Okay.
We learn basically through the course of this that the Taskmaster has always been driven to be a villain because of the illusion of truth, which is the title of this issue, which is hang on, let me get where's the just so I don't cock this up completely. It's the weight of the implicit memories of all the questionable things he's done.
Mm-hmm.
They drive him on to do more. He feels, not that he remembers, but that he feels he's done these bad things, then he just believes that is the kind of person that he is, and so that is why he has been a villain for most of his career.
Yes.
But outside of these major revelations, the forces of the Minions International Liberation Front of Life, led by Red Shirt, and an excessively... That's MILF, folks.
Oh my God. That one page as they're running in is like, the future belongs to MILF.
Oh, God.
High quality stuff.
I think basically the Taskmaster kicks everybody's ass in a really awesome sequence. Because it turns out Red Shirt has trained in a Shi'ar style of martial arts that is far too complex. He's received drugs to lighten his skeleton and perform tortures to unlock portions of his brain so he can perform these styles that the Taskmaster can't copy with his photographic reflexes. And the Taskmaster refuses to even try to absorb it, because if he does, it'll overwrite the memories that he's managed to reclaim about Mercedes and about their relationship in the course of the issue. And then it just all explodes into complete awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say what happens here.
I'm torn, because I really kind of want to talk about it. If people aren't reading it by this point, I don't think they care. But I don't know.
That's true. Well, basically, he says, you have no one style to counter mine. And the master goes, well, alrighty then. How about all of them?
Yes.
And then, artistically, this is great, because throughout this miniseries, Taskmaster's use of styles has been represented with smaller panels overlaid on portions of his body, where instead of himself inside it, it's like an image of the character whose powers or skills he is using. So the whole page is just a mosaic of little tiles of all the different characters whose powers he unleashes all at once and knocks the guy for six completely.
Yes.
Utterly awesome.
Wow, that sounds like the greatest comic ever.
This has been Marvel's mini of the year. I mean, we're going to talk about the year towards the end of it, but this, I think, has been... There was a couple of years back there when Marvel's miniseries were all really firing on all cylinders, and we got Christos Gage's Union Jack and Brian K. Vaughan's Doctor Strange and the first Agents of Atlas mini, and a lot of good minis came out that year. This puts me in mind of that period. I think this has really got to be mini of the year.
Mm-hmm. I want to spoil it because I want to talk about this. So, I mean, again, if you haven't read this, you may skip over the next 5 minutes or so. But
Get that trade.
Get the trade for sure. But when that does, because that doesn't end up working. He ends up still,
he does
the whole combination thing, and that doesn't end up working. And then, you know, finally you see him take over Red Shirt's style and kills him, I assume. I mean, it's
one
like,
killing blow.
Yeah, kicks him in the head and knocks him across the room. And then that moment, like the next moment is the most like heart-wrenching for me, because, you know, Mercedes makes the comment to him and she's like, oh, you absorb just enough of his ability just to be able to beat him, right? And he just looks at
her. Not enough to erase any other memories.
Yep.
You know who I am, right?
And it's just like, and of course it's just like, man, you know, and of course he knew he had to do it, but now he doesn't know who she is, and she goes back, and she's like, that is, I mean, she goes back to being in the org, and I mean, essentially it ends where it starts, which is kind of odd. I mean, after all of this, after this great story and everything, now you know all this stuff about Taskmaster, they managed to like put everything back in the box.
I like that an awful lot.
Yes.
Because this has been some big, big retcon changes for the Taskmaster and his whole history. But it hasn't spoiled the character. It really has just added to it. The whole idea that he is only evil because that's what he believes he should be. Because of the guilt, because he doesn't have... There's just some really, really fantastic ideas buried in among... I mean, this issue is a lot more straight played than the last couple have been. But as I've said before, this just puts me in mind of Joe Kelly's Deadpool, where when it came down to the fatal last minute, it did play it completely straight.
And it so worked. Like, that last page is just...
Oh, yeah.
Because you see her... I mean, it's just like that dedication that she has to him is just remarkable. You know, because she knows he's his only hope. Even if not only what he did to her, you know, in a sense, is kind of a betrayal. She knows he didn't really do it intentionally, and that she's the only way that he can really stay, do what he thinks he should be doing, and yet sort of stay on a righteous path. It's, yeah, awesome. And like I said, it does not change the character. Like any other writer can pick that character out, put him in their story, and not really impact or have to take into account.
They could not read this if they were fool enough to not read this. They could,
yeah,
and just carry on doing the Taskmaster as ever he has been.
Mm-hmm.
As sadly will probably be the case unless they allow Fred Van Lent to keep writing the Taskmaster. But
yes, if they do, seriously. But I don't know that it's like that's why I like this though as a mini, because I think that it takes a character that I don't know can really hold their own series, you know, and I think that it would have the danger of digressing into like a Deadpool kind of series in which the gimmicks would sort of take over what makes the character interesting, and then you end up with like 4 issues a month of Taskmaster International and Taskmaster,
or Taskmaster team up.
Yeah, and Taskmaster the Master Teacher.
I probably would have said that about Deadpool 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I would probably buy a Taskmaster team up book actually. Like if Robert Kirkman was writing it or something, I'd probably be crazy all over that.
So, I don't know, but this is amazing. Pick up the trade for that. And
absolutely,
if you
get yourself the collection.
Beautiful. Okay, anyway.
I've not said plenty of good things about this. You only started reading it because I started saying all the good things about it back at the start.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea it was out, and two, no interest in reading it until you told me about it. So, that's what's great about this show. We try to turn you on to good stuff. So, trust us. We're here for you.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Triplet. We had to pass you over for a second while you were out. So talk to us
technical
about the
difficulties.
That happens. Action Annual.
Yeah. Well, Action Annual, I didn't know if I was going to pick up this book or not because I usually don't. I don't like getting annuals.
I can tell you I picked it up and then I put it back down.
Oh, really? Why? Why'd you do that?
Yeah,
the cover's awesome. The cover kind of sold me.
Well, one, I think I do have a negative stigma towards annuals, and two, the price tag was like, whoa, okay.
It is crazy.
Annuals are like universe. This is how DC is compensating for the fact that they won't raise the price of anything to $4, is that all of their one-shots and annuals are $5 now.
Yeah. It was pricey, and it's not... I mean, it doesn't feel like a very big comic. Now, like how annuals used to get, like, I don't even know how big those were. Were they, like, 60 pages or something? They were huge, weren't they? Weren't they, like, pretty big back in the day or something?
Annuals did used to be monstrous, yeah.
I don't know, but it's a fairly short comic. I mean, it's basically just two stories is what it is, which basically what you're getting is two issues pretty much, two stories. But the reason why you probably should have picked up this book is you're getting stories by Paul Cornell. Which is good, I'm going to say.
You're cutting in and out.
Yeah, say that again.
Well, you're going to get two stories by Paul Cornell, the way you shaped it up. A good thing.
Two stories by Paul Cornell.
Yeah, that's what I got. Okay.
I got that out of that Dalek barrage.
Yeah. Dalek. Awesome.
Yes, well,
you're
I
losing
did.
Me?
Yeah,
losing you. I'm rather hoping. I would assume this will be collected in a trade.
I would think so.
I would assume this is probably how this is going to. They'll probably manage to make the Action Comics into 3 collections instead of 2. I believe Cornell is only set. It's only supposed to be about 10, 12 issues. And there's one trade or hardcover set already. It's coming out next year. I've said it before. This is when I'll be getting it. And I think it contains like 5 issues. So obviously the Secret Six crossover that kicks off next month and the annual will probably make up the guts of the second volume, and then all the other issues will be in the final volume. That's how they'll make 3 volumes out of it instead of just 2.
Ah, okay.
Ah, oh, we lost Triplet again.
Yeah, we lost Triplet again. Okay. Is there anything else that you read?
The second podcast I've been on today that we've had to drop with people who have been dropped out of.
I blame the cold. I blame the cold and snow.
Well, what else do you have? Do you have anything other than Secret Six?
I've only got Secret Six. So Taskmaster.
Well, I just have She-Hulk, but Triplet read that, so
yeah, we hate to
wait for it to come back.
You can go ahead and start, I guess, and see what.
So perhaps we should entertain the listeners with a song.
Ooh. name a good one. I might know it.
Maybe we shouldn't.
In honor of the musical of Spider-Man, we could do something from a musical. My suggestion would be something from Sweeney Todd, maybe. Or
I've never seen Sweeney Todd.
Sir.
It was on television last Sunday, and I was sitting here recording this instead of watching it. Right.
Don't you question me. Not the Johnny Depp one. You need to see, like, the original Broadway recording. That's
I've never couldn't tell you that last time I saw a play.
I own it on DVD. Yes, I promise you. Oh. I am a fan of musicals. Is this Triplet? Maybe? Let's see if this works.
Let's see. Bear with us, folks. We'll get this edited together in post.
You know, hey, at least this isn't my fault, okay? At least this isn't the show crapping out because of something I did. So, Brian doesn't have to deal with this. Crap. Okay, he's gone. Okay, go ahead and talk about She-Hulk.
Okay, I'll talk about She-Hulk. I don't actually have a heck of a lot to say. This follows on from the previous issue, in which She-Hulk, the two She-Hulks, Jen Walters and Lyra, that's the Hulk and Thunder's daughter from the future, are hunting down the remaining members of the Intelligentsia, the criminal organization of super intelligent supervillains, who was behind all of the problems that happened in the World War Hulk's crossover a couple months ago. For some reason, in the middle of all of this, it seems to be really important that Lyra go to cliche high school.
Yawn.
Yeah. It's not that I'm not enjoying it. I mean, there's a scene in here where Jen goes out and meets up with Wyatt Wingfoot, and they used to be a thing. I like that scene. I just can't understand why this high school plot is in here.
Who did she not have a thing with?
Well, this is true, but I mean, they had a long-standing thing.
Oh, okay.
They were a thing for a while.
They were like, okay.
But this involves the two She-Hulks going after the Red Ghost, who has headed off to St. Petersburg to create a replacement for his super-strong gorilla, who died, I believe. Yes, he died during World War Hulk. Was it? Hang on, I'm just checking to make sure that he died. The Red Hulk killed the super strong gorilla Miklo, and the Red Ghost is trying to create a new cosmically powered super strong gorilla. So, you know, super strong monkeys.
Yes.
Dawes and Atomic. Exponentially. And there's a lot of fun in which the She-Hulks fight with the Red Ghost and his super apes. And unfortunately, caught into the middle of it all is the bitchy Queen Bee character from the high school plot who catches Lyra in the act when she transforms and sneaks off to join Jen on this mission and sneaks onto their ship and watches the whole thing over and records it with the intent of putting it up on YouTube.
Course.
So, I mean, that character has been given some relevance, but I still just don't, get the high school thing, you know? I mean, Jen is really insistent she goes to high school, and she gets detention for being late when they're coming back from the last issue, and then she tells Jen she's got detention, and Jen says, how'd you get detention on your second day? Does low profile not mean anything to you? And then I'm like, well, Jen, if it matters so fucking much to you, why have you just secretly pulled her out of school to go off to Russia to fight the Red Ghost? One or the other, love.
Yeah.
It's annoying me because it's serving no purpose, and it's actually at cross purposes with what she wants Lyra to be able to do and help her with. I don't get why they thought that. I mean, basically, I'm assuming it was added to it to make Lyra the more prominent character in the miniseries, which, again, I don't know why. It's not that Lyra's a bad character. She has a strong creator pedigree. Fred Van Lent created her. But they seem to be appending more significant. It's like Maria Hill, you know,
some people just seem to see something in characters that the rest of the world doesn't. And they keep
I'll say it. I'll say Lyra is a bad character.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just saying
that because I read the history of the character. I don't know anything about the character, but in the first issue it had a history on her, and she sounded like a bad character.
Well,
it is really hard to sell the concept of the Hulk and Thundra's daughter from the future.
Yeah.
Because
it feels...
How many characters have that origin?
It feels like a really artificial way of trying to expand the Hulk family. Not literal biological family, even though it is biological family. I just mean the Hulk family of characters.
Yeah, because like, that's really...
enough of them run around that you don't need to be pulling this one back from the future.
It's really out of character for Marvel to have, like, you know, characters that are the children of characters from the future.
It's not really the Hulk's daughter, right? Isn't it like they took, like, DNA from the Hulk or something?
Yeah, it's
artificial.
They didn't actually go at it.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, I read the first issue of this run, and I didn't see anything there that made me feel like I needed to read more of it.
Well, I mean, when I saw the cover of the second issue and I saw who was going to be in it,
monkeys.
I was like, yeah, monkeys and in Red Ghost, you know? I was like,
wow.
Yeah.
Kitchen sink. Here it is.
And it does continue to be very nice to look at.
Yeah, I love this guy's
art. It does have some very nice art. And I would like to see this guy get a better project under him sometime soon. Because I like his work a lot. He's done some of the nicest She-Hulk art I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I like his She-Hulk. I'd like to see him do She-Hulk, but I'd like to see maybe another writer take a stab at it.
Yeah, I don't know who this Harrison Wilcox is, but he seems to have his heart in the right place, but it's this weird high school thing that is just throwing off the whole issue. Jane's doing nothing. Yeah, I don't know. It's not bad. I'm going to finish out the mini, certainly. But it's not the She-Hulk I want to read. Just give Jen her book back already.
There you go.
There's really no reason for these characters to be sharing space except for the fact that they're both She-Hulks, you know?
Well, and that's the thing.
Nothing about their worlds that...
It's like they're trying to give the Lyra character whatever legitimacy. And,
yeah, oh, totally. That is exactly what it is.
Yeah, and it's, you know, great.
I mean, her miniseries wasn't bad. Her miniseries was a lot of fun, actually. Because like, she's traveling back in time to try and avert her future. No, she's trying to... No, well, she's traveling back in time. She's after Norman Osborn. And through the whole thing...
I read the background, and it said something like she was going back to... have Osborn impregnate her or something?
Yeah,
but
the whole thing, you think that she's going back to kill him, and then on the last page of the penultimate issue, it says, "Who said I was going to kill you?"
Wow.
What the hell does she want the spawn of Osborn in the future for? I mean,
if I recall, history recorded him as like the most powerful male of the era.
Okay, then.
Wow.
Hence.
Huh. Well, speaking of powerful
and then
males,
as I recall, the final issue started with Osborn just blinking and going, "Well, at least buy me dinner first." But that was Fred Van Lent wrote that. So that was a good miniseries. You know, that convinced me that there actually was benefit to that character. This miniseries, not so much.
It's too bad.
It is too bad.
Yeah.
This would never have had legs as an ongoing anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's probably for the best that it's been
okay.
replicated.
This is a 24 issue mini. Is that no? Okay.
What?
24? No, or is it just a 12 issue mini?
Oh, and they dropped the price on it too. The first issue was $4.
Yeah.
The next issue
was
$3.
Gonna stick,
oh wow.
Stick with that, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it
I
is
thought
three?
They were all gonna
oh,
be four.
Even better.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So there's that, you know, there's a good thing about it. Yeah,
hey,
you know,
it's cheap.
It's not a bad miniseries, it's just kind of unremarkable, really.
I just said
it seems
$3...
a little misjudged in some areas.
You believe I just said a $3 comic is cheap?
Jeez. Yeah.
Good lord. I was going back through my old comics and looking at covers, and it's like $1.50. I'm like, oh, man.
Man, yeah. You remember. Remember the day.
My Action Comics says hello when they said still 75 cents.
God. Okay, so Secret Six then? Are we ready? Is there anything else?
Did you have anything more to say about Action Comics, Daniel Trembler?
Oh, just... I don't know if I should, because it kind of jinxes me, and then you guys
lose. Yeah, I guess.
Well, it was good anyway, is what you're saying.
It was good. Just a quick hit. It was good, and basically all it was young Lex Luthor stories. One where he has his first encounter with Darkseid, and an interesting story where he basically is spends some time with Ra's al Ghul when he's young. And they're cool. I mean, I recommend picking it up, because, I mean, you don't have to get them to read the current book. It doesn't really tie into it that much, but they're just kind of neat little young Lex Luthor stories.
And then it's next issue that we have the Secret Six tie-in and everything, correct?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it starts with the next issue of Action Comics and then carries on into the next issue of Secret Six and then no, because it's only in one issue of Action Comics and two issues of Secret Six, I believe.
It says the Secret Six are in Action Comics 896, then they're back next month. So I think Action will hit first, and then you'll get Secret Six.
The next Secret Six again after that is also part of the story.
Okay.
Hmm. I think so.
Okay.
Speaking of the Secret Six.
Speaking of Secret Six. So, open up with a little flashback for Alice, and I read the first page, and then I went off and grabbed a razor, and I cut myself a few times, and then I went back to read the rest of the issue.
Bad daddy.
God, it was the last day I was ever happy. And I spent the rest of my time being sort of useless. Yeah. So, let's see. McFeely, why don't you run us through this?
Well, this is part four, the final chapter of The Reptile Brain, the four-part story that has sent the Secret Six to Skartaris. And has not had the best effect on the comic, ultimately. I think we all agreed that it hasn't been great. Until this issue, bitches! This is solid Secret Six stuff. This is back where it ought to be.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the previous issue, the big bad of Skartaris... Deimos, however you pronounce that, who you know nothing about if you don't read anything to do with Skartaris, because really, why would you? It doesn't sell. And they didn't really set up the character if you're just a reader of Secret Six, so you're well entitled to be confused. But all you really need to worry about is the fact that he's possessed one of the good guys and turns him into a giant dragon and then starts attacking everybody. So all the people that are still alive out of the two Secret Sixes team up to take him down. And Black Alice saves the day. She gets her mojo working properly and copies Deimos' power, turns into a big old dragon, and takes him down.
It's pretty cool, though. I really like that everybody's like, well, we need to fight this now. And then, like, you know, Ragdoll's like, wait, does a great common enemy usually mean hostility cease between our forces? And what's his name? King Shark?
Probably
want to kill each other to the death anyway. Oh, yes, let's do.
Yes. You know? Those two characters together are just hilarious because they just – they don't really care.
I still don't really get the – I don't get King Shark. I'm enjoying reading him. I just can't get a handle on him.
Hey, when he says things,
it's crazy. I get that Ragdoll is a lunatic. I get Ragdoll. But King Shark just – has these really weird turns of phrase. And he
when he says things like Arthur Curry's fish sex, that was close.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Oh, of which Gail Simone mentioned that on her Twitter. She mentioned something about his fish sex not being dirty because he's always in the water. So I don't know. God, I loved Gail Simone. Anyway.
Bane and Scandal Savage make their perverted peace in this issue as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's some, like... I mean, she even says that she's got, you know, like, father issues and stuff, so their relationship is really fascinating. And Gigantia tries to fight the big dragon guy, which was...
Yeah, good for Gigantia. Good for Gigantia.
to Genta, whatever.
Everybody's really just like the dialogue and the ideas behind it. It's just all really, really on form, this issue, where the last issue or two has felt a little... This one has really got everybody back on form again. You know, as Bane says, Scandal here, I had this dream that we would live here. We could be family, and you would be free of your father. You would be the princess you deserve to be. And Scandal says, a terrible thing for a kind reason. The very definition of love, as I understand it.
I mean, it's just great. Like, yeah, he was going to kill all of these people and, like, you know, carve out a settlement for them, you know, just for her. It's like, it's that villainous concept that is put into context, which you can sort of go, oh, okay, well, I get that. I shouldn't.
Yeah, but this is on the same page, though, as just, like, Deadshot getting completely fed. You're like, some dude with a mace is trying to beat his head, and he's like, damn it, get off! Get off me! Did I not say get off? I think I did!
Yeah. And then he shoots this... Shoots the knees out from that annoying girl or whatever. He's been trying to shoot her.
In the knee.
He'd been trying to shoot her, like, for two issues. It's like...
she targeted his family. Bane won't let him kill her, but then she just shoots him in the knee. He shoots her in the knee.
Yes.
And decides to leave her behind as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And Ragdoll is really on form as well, because Black Alice starts to lose herself in the pyre, and Deimos possesses her when she takes the dragon form. And then Ragdoll basically tries to calm her down by saying, what are you doing? I wonder if you might stop being an awful demon serpent hybrid from another dimension and stop killing friend and foe alike. I let you sip from my special cup, dear.
Deadshot's response is awesome. I hope to God that don't mean something awful. She's listening.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, because I don't want to know what that means. Yeah. I don't want to know.
You killed a few to save many.
Go
find out.
But hey, in the end, they all get, like, immunity and they're...
Yeah, that's cool. Everybody gets to... They all go back. Amanda Waller seems like she might hang around in the title for a while, so that's cool.
As well as this Tremor figure or whatever. But they did say that there could only be six, which means...
Yeah, there's going to be some team reshuffling. Maybe there'll be team reshuffling. I don't know, I mean, it seems like... I don't know, it's just this bit here with everybody's in the hot tub and then King Shark jumps in, and it seems like King Shark might hang around. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe Alice will leave, though, with this whole thing.
Yeah, well, Alice definitely... I mean, she brings a Skartaran healer to her home to fix her dad's cancer, so... it seems like her tale may well be done here. And it's a happy ending, too.
Yeah, it's good for her.
That's good. But then the happiest ending of all.
Oh, my God, the epilogue. Yes.
So friggin' awesome. Basically, Dwarf Star gets called to Giganta's room in the hotel. And she's all set to seduce him, you know. Gets the belt off, presses him up against the wall, says, I love small men. You might say I have a fetish. My boyfriend has the same ability. Maybe you know him. And of course, if you've been listening to this show, then you know that Dwarf Star was behind the snuff movie-esque killing of Ryan Choi, the Atom Giganta's boyfriend, in Titans a couple of months ago. And she proceeds to spend the next page beating the holy shit out of him.
I mean, mercilessly.
I mean, and she's probably going to kill him. She doesn't say she's not going to, you know. He begs her not to, because she's got his belt off, so he can't use his powers. He can't shrink at all. And he puts his face through a mirror, and hand broke. She just puts a little duct tape over his mouth, and then things are going to get started.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's like, I don't normally cheer for this sort of thing, but fuck yeah.
Well, it's like, this is like the ultimate sort of justice for the Ryan Choi character. I mean,
for the and in the villain set as well. That's the great thing about Secret Six, is you can morally accomplish things that you can't in other places. No hero was ever going to do this to Dwarf Star, but he deserves absolutely nothing less than this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it was just like, yeah, cheering. Especially when she like grew a little bit and then grabbed his hand.
Yeah.
And just crushed it. Oh, and the next panel, especially, where it's just disfigured, you know. Ugh.
I hope he's dead.
You know, yeah. I don't know.
Just all I've been thinking for as long as he's been in this comic is like, somebody kill him.
I don't know. I don't know if Gail. I mean, well, and it's like, it would be fitting if she did because she made the character.
Yeah. So she made Doorstar and she made Riot. And I imagine this was, I don't know. I mean, I think a little too much of Gail Simone to think that this was just some silly little revenge thing, but it's very cathartic for me just as a reader.
Yeah. Well, did you, I love following her on Twitter, by the way, as anyone apparently knows, but she was mentioning that she found a, I can't remember what universe of figure, but it was a Ryan Choi, Adam.
Oh, yeah, I think it was
figure.
Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, Brave and the Bold. That's what it was. I think I asked her
it's,
if it came
it's
with
so weird that he
action.
Is the Adam in Brave and the Bold, but he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's so weird.
A little bit mistimed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was absolutely Secret Six completely and totally back on form with this issue after a slightly dodgy couple of issues.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next issue, though, with the whole stuff with Action Comics, because that was a good lead-in last issue of Action.
Yeah, the crossover.
Yeah, I mean, this is Paul Cornell plus Gail Simone equals awesome.
Equals the win.
So do we want to do a little bit of talk about Avengers? Earth Mightiest Heroes. We kind of, I think we mentioned that we were going to try and talk.
Well,
about,
we said we would.
I couldn't get XV on, so but we can talk about Gamma World if we wanted to. Real
Gamma
quick.
World was the Thanksgiving two-parter last week, episodes 12 and 13 of the series overall, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. I don't know what to say about it, though. I mean,
I don't really know what I have to say that I can't say about the Avengers as a whole.
Well, it was Jeffrey Combs, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I doubled my dose of Jeffrey Combs in that weekend. Like,
yes, it was kind of, that was kind of great. And yeah, exactly. I kept doing that, and everybody's like, who? I'm like, the guy, he was
what?
On. He was,
Stein.
You know, is no, nobody knew who it was. So, in my family, anyway. But, no, I mean, it was sort of. I'm still not really clear on all the stuff that's going on with Black Widow and like between her and.
Yeah, I mean, when she was walking up that hallway, I mean, I rewound. I wanted to look at her shadow. I thought maybe it was the Enchantress, and I was going to be like, oh, okay, they're not going that route. Maybe it's that's her shadow.
That's her.
Yeah. Well, I
believe she's all evil and shit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm beginning to think that she's a double agent, actually. You know, I'm beginning to think maybe she's not actually a member of Hydra, that maybe so there's going to be something new, something's going to happen, and it's like, oh, she did this for Hydra, but she really did that so she could get closer to this guy and take this guy out or something, you know, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It was kind of weird, though, that there was the whole thing where it's like, oh, well, once they're not under the effect of the Gamma Dome, then...
Yeah, they turns
back. Like, really? But whatever.
The leader is a benevolent ruler.
Yeah.
And he has made it so.
Yeah. Right.
I really like the part with Absorbent Man, where leader tricked Thor to call his hammer.
Oh my god, that was completely awesome.
Yeah.
And he did it. He took the hammer and he absorbed it, and then he just started beating the bloody hell out of Thor.
Yes.
I am concentrating.
Yeah.
And then holy crap. That was the most awesomely. Oh my god.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what was going to happen. I mean, I thought he was just going to. I thought he was going to, like, summon up some lightning or some shit. I thought, when he said, I am concentrating, I thought he was just going to bring the fury of the storm down. The fury lifted a moment. It was like wham, smash. It's fuck right, yeah, baby.
Yes.
Oh yes, I've forgotten about that for a moment. I have remembered.
It was
awesome.
It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. And the stuff at the end where like, so Hulk, are you staying? And he's like, I'm only going to stay if he stays, because it kind of seems like the only one he trusts is Hawkeye now.
Well, I wonder if it was that, or if I mean. I think there's a couple of ways to read that. Like, I almost want to read it as Hulk saying, well, I'll stay if he stays, because he didn't. I don't know if he really thought that he would stay either. And he's like, oh, well, Hulk's gone. But I know that wasn't it. But I mean,
I guess this is our team now, then, anyway.
Well, we have one more, though. We still have one more character to add to make it full Avengers.
Who are you thinking of?
Wonder Man.
Well, yeah. I suppose they might.
But that might not be this season, though.
Yeah.
Wonder Man might not be this season. I'll bet you
that'll be at the season end, though.
Like, he'll switch sides or something?
Yeah, he'll switch sides, and they'll... let's hope not Mockingbird. They've managed to turn Hawkeye into, like, an interesting character that I kind of want to
Hawkeye's been interesting from the start.
So...
I've really liked him in this show. The whole him being a dude on the run and him being, like, this ex-SHIELD agent, I think that's been awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the episode just appeared, so you guys haven't seen that one, so there's a little more of that character in the episode from today. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm liking this series. Like, I'm solid.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's good stuff. I mean, I was a little bit leery when I was like, oh, it's movie universe. I think it's come across pretty well. So, solid. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Masters of Evil this week after weeks and weeks of build up to this, so definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll say is it's a solid episode. It's in fact, I would say that in some ways I think it's as much stuff from, like, both episodes of Gamma World, like, other than sort of the epic, like, MacGuffin. It's a decent amount of stuff crammed into one episode. So
stuff is always good.
Yeah. I can't say what the stuff is.
Well, I actively look forward to Avengers every week, so I'm really looking forward. I mean, this is definitely working its way up to being Marvel's best cartoon ever.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, like, really hard to say. I loved Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
God, I love that show.
Yeah, this is solid good, and we say
this is Marvel's Justice League, really, but this show is better now at this point, 13 episodes in, than Justice League was at this point.
It took them a season before they finally got to the groove, and then when they hit like season two of Justice League, then it was
awesome.
First
season of Justice League is just all right.
Yeah, it's just okay, but like that second season was gold. Yeah. It was really good.
And then it just goes awesome when it hits on one.
Then it goes, yeah. The question, Jiffer Gomes.
Yeah. if Avengers can manage that level of quality climb, it'll be out of the friggin' atmosphere by the end of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still have a lot to pull from and a lot to go to. And
yeah,
being that it is movie universe, you have a different relationship with S.H.I.E.L.D. than, you know,
it's
sort
hard
of in...
to exactly predict where we can expect it to go now at this point, because up till Gamma World, really, the series has been following the basic flow of the early Lee and Kirby stuff. You know, team forms, Hulk impersonated and leaves out of anger. Zemo comes, Captain America comes, is recovered. Zemo comes back. Masters of Evil start to form. Wonder Man, and, you know, basically after that in the comics, they fight Count Nefaria, and then the whole team changes and the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and everything come on. So they've reached that breaking point.
Is there a chance we'll get Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and all those guys? Do you think we'll actually
see them? I think they're probably tied up with the X-Men.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know if that's something that we'll never get because maybe it's tied up under a different agreement or what. Because I'd really like to see Scarlet Witch and the Vision in Quicksilver. I would really like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's because I was purely some of the earliest Avengers stuff I read was the Busick Perez Avengers. But if you tell me to pick my Avengers dream team, it's Thor, Cap, Iron Man, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, and Vision.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would not disagree with that.
But we haven't had an Avengers team like that for nearly a decade now at this point.
But wouldn't you say, though, that this, I mean, to kind of think about from Marvel from a strategic standpoint, do you think that some of the point of this series is to keep maybe some of the younger audience interested in the characters they're going to see in the upcoming Avengers movies and to sort of try to, in a, just sort of front load some of the interest.
Well,
for
I don't think that that's necessarily in any kind of in a contradiction to the team roster I just suggested, because they're all supposed to be in it except the Scarlet Witch.
Well, yeah, because Hawkeye is going to be in it, and then. But I mean,
even if we don't see the Scarlet Witch in this show, I'm sure we'll see the Vision.
But
they've already got the Ultron groundwork laid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I mean, as far as say like Quicksilver and some of those other characters, I don't know.
I think, unfortunately, Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch are probably tied up with the X-Men.
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently, they say this universe shares a continuity with X-Men Evolution.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, I believe Chris Yost said that at a panel or something.
I would think Wolverine and the X-Men might be a closer connection.
Did I say? Oh, I'm sorry.
You said X-Men Evolution.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I meant to say Wolverine and the X-Men.
Wolverine and X-Men, it also had the Sam Jackson-ish theory.
I will say that now that you mention that, there is something that alludes to that in Masters of Evil.
Say no more, sir.
It's not really a big... It's kind of a background deal, so you'll have to kind of pay attention to see it.
Well, we already had the Steve Bloom-voiced Wolverine guest starring in the Captain America minisodes.
Yeah.
It was our first big hint.
This is much more subtle than that, but you'll see it when you watch it. So.
Oh, we also had a reference to the MRD as well in an earlier episode. I forget which one that was.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, he's a mutie. You know, that's not our jurisdiction or something. Yeah, I remember that.
With it. Yeah, they made a reference to them, so...
Yeah.
They seem to be working with that.
Yeah, there's another one. I'll just say there's another reference similar to that.
I liked Wolverine and the X-Men. I kind of wish they would have brought that back for a second season.
Wolverine and the X-Men is a little bit po-faced.
I mean, it wasn't the best show ever, but I thought that it was going somewhere. I thought it was going to be pretty good if it would kept going.
Out of the crop of the three new shows that premiered around that time, like Armored Adventures, It, and Spectacular Spider-Man, I think it came in at number three, frankly.
Yeah.
But it took itself a little too grimdark, a little too serious-faced. But overall, it had a pretty solid idea behind it. I mean, I was just really worried that the whole series was going to be Professor X's head from the future giving the X-Men their missions every episode.
It's Power Rangers. Style.
Yeah, no, really. Pilot episode. And the first episode after the pilot is Professor X's head summons together five mutants with attitude to go to Cairo and take care of the Shadow.
I just really like the idea of some catastrophe happens and the X-Men are over, and then the one X-Man that always runs and leaves the team is the one that has to bring him back. I kind of like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of good ideas at its core, and it was a nicely animated and well acted show and pretty solid scripting overall. I think the thing that always puzzled me about it though was that it played very fast and loose with what you were supposed to know and what you weren't supposed to know, if you know what I mean. It's like Sentinels were new, and I can't even remember now at this point, you know, but like some characters that are long-standing X-Men characters were introduced as new, and then Mr. Sinister was treated as a pre-existing threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I could understand that if they were approaching it from like a movie-esque direction where they would think that anybody who had seen the movie would know X characters and they treat them as the pre-existing characters that the audience will know and then introduced everybody else new, but then like they come along and treat Sinister as a pre-existing threat, and there are other examples as well, but I honestly can't even think of what they were right now.
Yeah, I just didn't like that that Cyclops had just kind of a background awful character role in it, you know what I mean? He was kind of like an afterthought character, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cyclops sucks anyway.
Well, he's the leader of the X-Men. I'm gonna come on.
Not this show, he's not.
Yeah. No. So, okay, very good. Well, hey, we took up some more time anyway.
Yeah.
So, real quick, I will mention everybody that again, and we kind of mentioned before, we're talking about doing an end of the year wrap up. So, last episode of this, you know, actual year. Will be sort of a year-end wrap-up. We want to talk about news, events, things that happened within the comic book world, both in the comics and maybe outside as well at the end of the year. But we want your help. So if you would, if you have any questions or any topics that you want us to talk about, you can do one of two things would be the easiest to do. One would be to send us a tweet and just ask your question or make your comment, tell us what you want us to talk about. We'll be monitoring and writing those down and keeping those. You can also, I'm sorry?
What Twitters can they get us on?
Well, primarily you would want to use the RFC Twitter, which is TF Radio. So at TF Radio, so, and you should follow that if you're not, so you should follow that.
Yes.
I'm sure you could probably do any of our individuals, which, you know, yours is Chris McFeely, yours is Man of the Town, mine is the JD Church. That's easy. Or you can email us as well, at our at TF Radio email addresses, mine is JD. Triplets is Chris, and McFeely is McFeely. So that's pretty easy as well. So any of those venues, if you would...
No excuse for not remembering those.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward and simple. But yeah, I mean, if there's anything that you want to hear us talk about, and of course we'll, you know, we'll reference you and say it was your question when we talk about it, so you'll get a mention on the show. And I think we may have a little bit of an expanded cast as well for that show. I think we'll bring on a few more people so that we can have a nice big roundtable discussion on the show about everything that's gone on this year and get ready for the next exciting year of comics. And hopefully next week there'll be more comics and comic news to actually talk about with that, because that would be great.
I'm sure next week will be a huge week.
I know.
This week was
The second week of the month has turned into a pretty heavy week. But there's 5 Wednesdays this month, so...
Yeah.
Everything's a little bit more special.
Yeah, that'll be. I saw my shop had like 2 copies of the Superman Earth 1 graphic novel.
Ah, yes, the Superman Earth 1 is back in print this week, folks, so if you wanted, go out and get it.
Yeah, I actually picked it up and looked at it, and then I put it back.
Why didn't you keep the Action Comics though?
I don't know. I'll pick it up this week. There'll be plenty. Pick it up though, because I haven't read any of the Luther in Action, and I was thinking today again that I need to write my awesome Superman story that actually makes me think that Superman may be cool, which is going to be hard.
Because I think it's a Superman story. It's a Lex Luthor story.
It is pretty much a Lex Luthor story. But I think
get yourself the collection. Get yourself the hardcover.
It's actually going to be
what
I think
the cool people are doing.
I think it's going to be the Lois Lane story is what's going to be what I'm going to end up with, because you know, I think she's cooler than Superman, which is why I like Smallville. Apparently. Anyway, so there
yeah,
you go.
Say that. Tolerate me.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't know.
Next week's gonna have old Deathstroke the Terminator on it.
Yes.
Gotta watch that.
It's gonna be Deathstroke.
What is everybody's? Who wants to take the bet that Darkseid doesn't really appear and just possesses this Lex Luthor clone?
No, I think he's gonna possess Lois's dad, and then that way.
Oh my God, that would be awesome, because he is Michael Ironside.
But no, I'm feeling pretty confident, and you'll have to like give me money if I'm right that he winds up possessing. He possesses this Lex Luthor clone that's floating around. This is all secondhand knowledge. So,
I think he's going to possess Tess Mercer.
That could be. That thereby
allows the show to completely avoid having to make any character look like they look like in the comics.
Well, they already
except
did.
For maybe one final shocking moment where Clark delivers the punch after a brief 30-second fight, and Darkseid maybe flickers and looks like himself before. Explode.
Yeah, because they already did the sort of Darkseid in smoke image.
Yeah.
So
that smoke will possess the clone Luthor, so they never have to actually do Darkseid properly. He might shoot the Omega Beams. In fact, I think he will.
Yeah, I could definitely see Omega Beams.
I think it'll just be clone Lex Luthor shooting Omega Beams.
Or he'll possess Lionel.
Clark will fly to avoid those Omega Beams.
Yes. Well, and that's the other. Well, because Ultraman can fly. So
yeah, Ultraman can fly. Flip up a storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's get the heck out of here.
So let's see how that goes.
So, anyway, there you go. Full show, good stuff. Tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.